Good evening and welcome to the Village of Carmack's Council meeting. Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. I'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional territory of the Little Sam and Carmack's First Nation. This is agenda 26-06. 7 o'clock, I'll call the meeting to order. I'd like to say happy St. Patty's Day to everybody. Also looking for a motion to adopt the agenda with one added in camera on an item of labor. Right. And sorry, another add on 8.8 CBC Yukon visit to the community.
I make the motion to amend the agenda as president. To amend the agenda. I'll second it.
All in favor? Thank you.
Okay.
Motion for the minutes of March 3rd, 2026 for approval.
I make the motion to adopt the minutes. I'll second that.
All in favor? Thank you. Not seeing any delegations nor correspondence. We'll move into reports. Hello, Councillor Mitchell.
Sorry.
Councillor Pitt. Welcome. We're just on council activity reports. We'll start with Councillor Hanson.
I attended a joint council meeting. I think it was on the 11th. And thank you. That's about all I've got. Thank you.
Well, Councillor Boulanger, I'll let you go ahead.
I attended the meeting on the 11th, and that was for
joint council.
No, that was the 12th.
Yeah. We had the meetings. We had the joint council.
We had a meeting
with the minister.
With the minister, and I attended the joint council meeting. Big apologies for not attending the weekend of fun. I was in bed, not feeling well. Other than that, just busy with work.
Thank you. Councillor Mitchell, go ahead.
Same. I attended the two meetings with the ministers, Kent and Belmore, and the
Joint Council
meeting. I enjoyed both of them. They were very good.
Thank you.
May I add that I was also at a meeting with the minister?
Of course, and I was
at the AYC board meeting weekend as well. So wasn't to attend with the booth.
I didn't get time to go home and get my package. I came straight to work.
We appreciate you.
Do you have a
stop snowing? I'm
going to get off. Bring it off. Tell it to stop snowing.
Okay.
Put it on your agenda.
Did you have another package for Councillor Mitchell?
That's right. If you can get that turned on, I'll follow.
Perfect.
I'm the one I can follow. Thank you. I read it at home, so.
Thank you, councillors, for your reports. Mine is also.
Dan.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Wheeler, welcome. Sorry there.
Oh. Thanks. So I attended the AYC board meeting on March 7th. I was going to update you on that meeting, but I forgot my notebook at the daycare, trying to get my granddaughter out. Not used to having a three-year-old at my house anymore. I didn't attend the Winter Loot events because I wasn't feeling well either, but I heard some really, really positive feedback. It was great this year from what I've heard. The meeting on the 11th and the meeting on the 12th I was at as well, and I think that is it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wheeler. Also in my report, just to follow up the ministers' meetings, Minister Kent and Minister Belmore was very informative, caught up on a lot of things. Also got the first face-to-face with the ministers. It was nice to have that. Also the joint council meeting with LSCFN. Yeah, that was very informative. Like to thank council for all the things they brought forward. It was good conversations. Also, I did not attend Winterlude or the AYC. Forgive me, I was out of town. But I did get to catch up with the Upper Canada College that came to the rec. This is their third year coming here. I also was able to ask a few community members there was to come down and speak about the history and just about living in CarMax and, general questions, took on general questions. So thank you to Mr. Tricker for coming down and showing him some trapping supplies, some fur, and just life in CarMax. They thoroughly enjoyed that. Yeah, so just talking to people in general public, it's I see on the thank you to Blake, CAO, for putting a few things on here like flood risk assessment. Yeah. So I'll move into Blake CAO report.
Thank you. So a lot of the time spent over the last couple of weeks was really in preparation for the two meetings last week. So the meeting with the ministers on March 11th, and then the joint council meeting on March 12th. The orientation of the CAO role continues. So still kind of just doing a lot of reading on key projects files, updating on systems. And then also just corresponding with residents on various topics. Marcia came in, and we had a good conversation about a business opportunity. There was and some good conversations with staff, including this week, a number of conversations with Bill about just the history on lagoon and water treatment plant, that kind of thing. So it's been really good kind of catching up with people. We do a regular meeting with management, usually every Wednesday after the council meeting. So we had one of those on March 4th. I had an in-person meeting with community services. So it would be Arbor and Mike, it's Community Affairs and Infrastructure Development Branch. That was in the lead up to both meetings that week. Also meeting with Kelly to talk again, kind of preparing for joint council meeting, and then a debrief with Community Affairs with Arbor on the 13th as well, just to kind of do some follow-up on some of the topics that were discussed. I also attended the AYC admin forum on March 6th. So there were some presentations from Humane Society, Yukon, and Participaction, which I included in the council package for reference. Updates from AYC and then roundtable with other CAOs. There was some discussion about the resolutions from AYC, and just that it was extended to the end of this month. So there's just a few discussions on that. In terms of looking forward, there's been discussion with administration about proposing a bylaw review and bringing it forward for recommendation for consideration of the next council meeting to formally review the traffic bylaw. And then this recommendation has been postponed until April to allow for the prioritization of other time-sensitive bylaws having to do budget. And then once initiated, the bylaw review will require time to allow for community engagement. So more discussion on that to come.
Because traffic bylaw, is that in regards to the 40 kilometer?
Yes.
Okay.
Any questions for Blake?
Have you informed the individual that has been the person ahead of this issue of the 40 kilometers,
No,
Mr. Harris?
right now it's just right now just notifying that we will be bringing the recommendation forward the next meeting, but yeah, haven't done anything more on that not front yet.
This recommendation from Mr. Harris, this is from me to bring that bylaw back to have the proper review.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
Oh,
nothing to
okay.
do with that.
Okay.
Yes, just clarify.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to recreation report. Thank you, Blake.
Yeah, bro.
So this participation stuff, did you pass that on to Chanel?
I did, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So this
Sounds
is
interesting.
the moving Canada since 1971, is that
Yeah.
okay?
One of the things I think Tara brought up in the last meeting
about the fire department, and we haven't been receiving any reports. Have you had any contact with Blake about that?
There's one
on the
there's one here. There's one in here. Oh,
thank you, Council.
oops, I skipped out.
Advise that you review your package.
I have, but I skipped it.
All right, recreation report. Just gonna get down to it. Thank you, Chanel. February Council report 2026 from the Rec Department. February was a busy month in the arena with several success. Oh, sorry. February was a busy month at the arena with several successful events and continued facility maintenance issues. Staff worked to support community programming, tournaments, and fundraising opportunities while managing ongoing repairs within the facility. Maintenance and infrastructure, arena showers, still having issues with the shower and change room 4, I believe here. Yeah. So it sounds like they had some stuff that was repaired here. This was the shower repaired in January with a lever style rather than a push button system. It is believed that the push button controls are no more prone to failure, or more prone to failure, sorry. Yeah, change room bench. Yeah, so the George and Jerrison installed the support system beam, reinforcing and stabilizing the bench so it can be continued to be used. The break is believed to have been caused by weight of multiple players sitting on the bench. CO alarm incident that we had in our past one is here again. Just the carbon monoxide alarm was triggered by on Saturday evening. Staff investigated the arena but were unable to locate any secure or source of leak. The alarm cleared shortly after and did not return. At this time, it is believed that the sensor may have been malfunctioned, but the system will continue to be monitored. Perfect. Programs and events, hockey tournaments. I know there is a few here. The hockey tournaments held this month with good turnout. 5 teams participated in the event was considered successful with strong community attendance. There were a few minor incidents during play. 2 players and a referee were injured at the collision where individuals were not paying attention to other surroundings. The individuals were okay after the incident. Safety first. Curling Bonspiel. The curling Bonspiel ran successfully with little to no issues reported. Participation and attendance were good throughout the event. I heard it was very well. Yeah, everybody had lots of fun. Far Far Away Club travel fundraiser. The Far Far Away Club fundraiser sold out completely during the hockey tournament. The recreation department was happy to support the opportunity for the youth to raise funds for their travel activities. Winterlude. Winterlude was originally scheduled for February 27th, 28th. The event was moved ahead by 1 week. It turned out to be a good decision. The temperatures later dropped in approximately minus 40 and lower. Upcoming programs, March Break Camp, which was just the other day, or the other week, last week. Planning on May March Break Camp took place throughout February. Camp is scheduled for March 9th to the 13th. I could say that I did stop by the rec center and did see them. Lots of activities in the gym, and arts, crafts. Yeah, very busy bunch down there. Like I mentioned in my report, UCC group visited. It's Upper Canada College. Preparations are underway for the UCC group visiting March 8th to 14th. Staff are looking forward to the hosting the group and will provide updates on the next council report, which is this report, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
That's okay. New Horizons for senior program. The rec department received approval for 21,000 in funding through the New Horizons for Seniors program. The funding supports the seniors' trips to Whitehorse and helps keep elders active and engaged in the community. Thank you for the funding from New Horizons Senior Program. Summary: February was a successful month for the recreation programming with strong participation in the hockey tournament throwing Bonsfield. Minor maintenance issues occurred with the facility, but the staff addressed them, made them possible, were possible. We're planning underway for upcoming March programs and the community visits. Thank you, Chanel. CarMax Volunteer Fire Department monthly report. Councilor Mitchell, did you want to do the report?
No, you're doing good.
You sure?
I'm sure. I don't want to read.
Okay. The CarMax Volunteer Fire Department experienced a busy operational period during the final quarter of 2025. From September through December, members responded to multiple incidents across the village of CarMax and surrounding area response area. Calls for service during this period included motor vehicle incidents, fire response, alarm activations, and other emergency assistance calls. These responses often require members to attend incidents outside of the immediate village area, reflecting the department's commitment to assisting the bordered region when required. Incident response summary, September 2025 to February 2026. Motor vehicle incidents, 5. Fire callouts, 7. Fire carbon monoxide alarm activations, 9. Other emergency assistant calls, 3. Total responses is 24. Thank you, team on the CarMax Fire Department. Other emergency assistant calls included incidents such as a lift assist, EMS assistance, and assisting Yukon EMS when the ambulance became stuck during the response operation. Motor vehicles incidents attended by CVFD members occurred across a wide geographic area, including Pelly Crossing, Braeburn, and down Little Buffalo Lake Road. CVFD also responded to several smoke and carbon monoxide alarms activations throughout the community. These include response to the CarMax Health Center, CarMax Hotel and Bar, and Little Sam and CarMax First Nation buildings, and the waste treatment facility, and multiple residential homes. These responses highlight the importance of functioning alarm systems and early detection to prevent potential serious incidents. The CarMax Volunteer Fire Department maintained regular training practices during the period and continues to demonstrate a strong commitment and provide the fastest and safe emergency response service possible for the community. Attendance by active members in training and all call responses has been strong and consistent. The department continues to prioritize maintaining operational readiness through training, equipment familiarity, scenario-based exercises, and ensuring work order of equipment and gear, working order. In December 2025, Trent Blackjack officially stepped down from the role of the deputy chief. Trent relocated to Whitehurst during the summer and felt he could no longer fully meet the requirements associated with the deputy fire position. Despite stepping down from the leadership role, Trent Blackjack remains an active member of the department and continues to reside in CarMax during his days off on the weekends. Trent has been an instrumental part of the CarMax Volunteer Fire Department, and the department generally greatly appreciates his continued commitment and contributions when he is present in the community. Thank you, Trent Blackjack. Also, another update here from Kyle LeBlanc. Moved away in the late fall 2025. LeBlanc also is a great I could go on with this, but assistant and help during the time in CarMax. While on the CVFD, LeBlanc's enthusiasm, energy, and positivity is notably missed. The volunteer fire department gives a big thanks to LeBlanc for his service and wish him all the very best. Yes. And we still are in contact with Kaya.
He joined the ranks of the fire department in Ibex Valley, I believe.
Yes, he did.
Good for him.
Yes. Which we work very closely with because they're the first fire department on the highway.
Right.
CarMax Volunteer Fire Department currently has 8 active members. In December, Liam Ferraz joined the department as a new volunteer firefighter. Due to the current membership levels, the department collectively agreed to modify the leadership structure to ensure operational effectiveness. The department is currently operating with the following leadership structure: Fire Chief Blake Vandekamp, Captain Operations Dennis Mitchell, Captain Training and Prevention Hunter Blackjack. Under this structure, the department will operate with one chief and 2 captains rather than maintaining a previous deputy chief and training officer roles. When department memberships increase to 12 active members or more, the department will revisit the leadership structure and discuss the potential reinstatement of the deputy chief position. Sounds good. Looking ahead, the department will continue to promoting and advertising the in effort to recruit additional volunteer members. This spring and summer, the department plans to pursue further advances in specialty training opportunities when available. Potential training areas include ICS 300 and ICS 400. Also, swift water rescue, emergency ops, advanced vehicle operations, flooding response, and a mass incident response scenario. These training opportunities will continue to strengthen the department's ability to respond effectively to emergencies within the village of CarMax and surrounding area. The CarMax Volunteer Fire Department continues to operate as dedicated volunteer service committed to protecting the safety of the residents, the infrastructure within the village of CarMax. The department would like to acknowledge the continued dedication of its volunteer fighters who respond to emergencies while balancing work, family, and other obligations. CVFD remains committed to training, preparedness, and providing reliable emergency services to the community. Thank you, Fire Chief Blake Vandekamp, for your report. And also Captain Mitchell.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
So I agree with the changes. It sounds great, but when there's like operational changes, it should probably come to council beforehand, since we're ultimately responsible for the fire department. Not that we need to necessarily approve or deny things, but before major changes are made, we should probably know about them ahead of time. Just for future.
Well, I believe I thank you for that comment. Blake Rogers, CEO, is here listening, obviously. So I'll leave it with Blake. Thank you, Councillor Wheeler. Moving on, Association of Yukon Communities, Councillor Wheeler.
So as I said before, I forgot my notebook at home. There wasn't anything major that came up, but if we have any nominations for Hanseatic Award, Sustainable Communities, or the Employee Award, to get those in right away.
Thank you. We should put Richard's name in again. Try one more time. You didn't pick him last time. Keith, didn't you pick Keith in last time?
You have a bylaw that talks to the fire department. It's perfect. It's not being followed.
Okay.
With those changes.
Okay.
I think it just the way he resigned, it kind of caught us off guard.
I'm sure it would.
All right, moving ahead. Bylaws. 7.1, but under bylaws, bylaw 324-26, property tax bylaw 2026.
Did we change the taxation rate?
If I could speak to Mr.
Yes.
So the purpose of the bylaw is to provide council a summary of property tax rate trends from 2011 to 2025 and recommend adjustments to ensure taxation remains aligned with current municipal service and financial requirements. Just some background, find a review of annual property tax bylaws from 2011 through to 2025. So over the 14 years shows that the village maintained relatively stable tax rates over an extended period with only modest increases. So for example, from 2011 to 2016, the general tax rate remained at 1.35% with a $200 minimum tax. In 2017, the rate increased to 1.4% and minimum tax increased to 250. 2019, the rate increased again to 1.5%, remaining unchanged through 2023. And then in 2024, council adopted a class-based taxation system and increased minimum taxes to 400 for residential, non-residential, and 350 for other classes. 2025 maintained the same structure and rates as 2024. Analysis. So there's been limited rate movement over time. Property tax rates remained unchanged for 6 years between 2011 and 2016. So largely remained unchanged in those times. And then between the 5 years between 2019 and 2023, also unchanged. So it indicates there's a historically cautious approach to taxation. It's been fairly incremental. And again, there's just been it just kind of breaks it down like that. So it's been very, very marginal over the last basically 15 years. The recommendation was put forward in the bylaw to make sure that the village isn't falling behind on in terms of the cost of rising everything and making sure that it's not a necessity where taxes are increased all at once to kind of make up for that gap.
That would suck.
Sorry for the yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you, Blake. Hey, we want to open the bylaw. We need a motion. And then we can discuss.
Can you make a motion? We give bylaw 324-26, the property tax bylaw for 2026 first reading. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Can I see Tara on the screen?
Does this budget reflect any changes? Does this bylaw that we have in front of us reflect a change? Or is it status quo, the one we have in front of us? For the taxation.
The taxation, it's an increase, but it's
one, two, three.
Yeah.
Okay. It's one stuck here.
It's a nominal one.
One change to under 4.5 for unimproved speculative and vacant real properties.
So 4.5?
Yeah.
Is as provided under section 62 of the Act, a minimum tax shall be applied when the percentage rate applicable under section 3, 4, or 5 results in an amount less than the minimum tax of $400 or for the taxable resident or non-resident commercial or
real properties,
okay? Or $700 for all other taxable, unimproved, or speculative, or vacant real properties. So let's... second reading, we need a motion.
I'm not clear on the difference between those.
But we have to open it up so you can have the discussion because we just did the first reading and now
okay.
You need the second reading, then I'll give you time to talk about
pick the card. I'll do the second reading for bylaw 324-26 in regards to the rates of taxation imposed for a year 2026.
We have a seconder.
Yes.
Okay, so now we can have discussion. Go ahead, Councillor Hanson.
I'm not clear on the difference between what is non-residential and whatever is listed in the next one, unimproved speculative vacant real properties.
Okay.
Yeah.
The first one, and Prince, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the first one would be residential properties, whereas the second one is lots that are vacant that are just kind of being held in speculation. So if there's not, they're not being developed, if there's nothing being done with them, they're, that would be the second part.
But the first part says residential and non-residential.
So for the non-residential
and commercial,
it's non-residential is like,
pardon,
country residential and all included. There is a
the zones.
Yeah.
So should it be more specific to what Councilor Hanson is saying?
You will see under 3.1. That says the residential and non-residential, it explains.
Okay.
So definition.
3.1.
Definition.
Okay, perfect.
Non-residential, commercial, industrial.
Does that help you, Councilor?
No.
Did you want it to read as country residential?
Well, it says residential and non-residential, commercial, real, and then up above, non-residential is commercial, industrial, and government. So
it's kind of like redundant language.
Mm-hmm.
So if we just remove non-residential?
Yeah, let's put, or non-residential, commercial, industrial, government means all classes of real property used primarily for commercial, industrial, public purposes. Ooh. Well, I think you should put residential, non-residential, or
this would include like properties that utilize like type of farming or
all classes of real property use primers. I think maybe we should put that definition again. $700 for unimproved speculative properties means real property under any of the above descriptions on which there are no improvements. Okay, so this one, there's improvement. No, there's no improvements on the $400 one either, is there? Probably not if the tax is under $400.
What would classify you as having what would improved and unimproved lot? Should that not be in here? Like, how do you determine the difference?
OIG do the assessment. If the property has been, they will have the code, they will shift the code. If there has been any improvement, they will shift their tax.
But it should state what the improvements would consist of. Like, how do they know?
It doesn't in your letter. It just
tells you your improvements and what your property
is. Yeah, it says property, and I wish I had the letter. I get it every year. I'm sure anybody.
I'm just saying in this bylaw, if somebody, if a taxpayer comes and is saying, my $400 bill is now $700 bills, but I've improved my lot and I did well. But how is somebody supposed to determine that? Like, how is the verbiage in here supposed to say I've done improvement? Well, how does that capture it?
I don't know if a well's considered an improvement.
Well, let's say
I would think it is, but isn't anybody that does work under law supposed to come here to get permits? So that's how you would know. That's rather figuring your soul.
But how would they
classify what you're saying? I don't know.
So YG do the pre-assessment at end of November. So they give the time to all the residents whose property assessment has been, like the resident think their property has been not done and properly assessed. So they can make and contact to YG and make the correct. One of the residents did last in 2024. Their taxes have been high because the property assessed value was high as they thought it's two-story house, but it was only one story, so they contact them and then they reassessed it. So it went down.
So, Councillor Wheeler, do you have any comments on this? Just want to make sure I'm checking.
Did we lose you, Tara?
She's muted.
Just give her a second. Councillor Wheeler, the floor is open for discussion on a second reading of bylaw 324-26, property tax bylaw. Did you have any comments on that? Just one last.
I don't know if we even need that $400 minimum there.
That is a rate, though.
Yeah, but if it's taxable and unimproved, then it's $700.
No, it's, for example, if somebody's house, they value, it's an old house, and the valuation goes like 280, like according to our rate, like 1.45. If it's like 280, but the minimum we said it's 400, it will not be 280.
Right, so it brings them up to paying the 400.
So that we meet the minimum service that we give to all the residents.
That's right.
So,
well, that kind of goes against our structured system that we had implemented before, does it not?
280 divided by 1.45. I don't think there's going to be a... That's percentage 0.01.
Five.
Okay. 280 divided by 0.015. I don't think they're going to assess an $18,000 home. My shed was worth $6,000, so I don't think there's going to be an $18,000 home out there being assessed.
But there is also the, what we say, homeowner's grant?
The which?
Homeowner's grant, yes.
Yeah, yes.
But we actually don't have any properties that are like under 400 or something. This, I think, was more...
This is just the municipal act's requirement that you have to set the minimum amount according to section 16.
So my question is in regards to the structured tiered systems for the property tax, how does that reflect in this bylaw as a tiered system from downtown core, country residential, commercial?
They are different rates in here.
Yes, they are 4.1 to 4.4.
They're different rates. Mm-hmm. It's just this jumble at the bottom that's confusing me.
Okay, well, let's work through it.
I can't say anything. I think commercial should be the same, like unimproved and speculative, right?
Yeah.
Like, why should commercial pay less than residential?
Yeah, no, commercial should be enrolled into the undeveloped if it is undeveloped.
So maybe it's just $400 for all taxable residential.
The minimum.
Minimum. Yeah, $400 minimum, and then down below a minimum $700 for all other taxable, unimproved, speculative, vacant properties.
Yeah.
That's what I think it should be. $400 for all taxable residential minimum, and then $700 for all the others.
So in this piece at 4.5.
That's if their assessment falls below.
Right.
$400, which is pretty rare.
But it should read that. It should read on the, based on the tiered system, that based upon your assessment, then would be implied that the $400 minimal taxation would be applied. Or the non, if it's non improved, then the $700. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's a commercial, residential, just, or...
Yeah, whether they're sitting on it or whatever.
Yeah.
So...
Vacant real property.
Add a 4.6 and put that word in.
So, would, does that make sense, though, to have $400 for taxable residential and then $700 for the rest? You can't... Kind of makes sense to me.
The $400 is a minimal set rate.
Minimum. It's a minimum for residential only, I think. It could be.
Right.
We could set it for residential only. And then commercial, everything else could be $700 for a minimum.
Yeah. I mean,
could we do that?
That's the discussion here.
$400 is for all the residents and non-residential commercial real properties. That it just to be like that we don't go below that.
Right, but what she's recommending
is we don't go below $700
on for commercial.
We don't go below $400 for residential, but we don't go below $700 for anything else.
For commercial? Okay.
For anything other than residential.
Yes, we can put that, but for the second part, for $700 for all other unimproved.
Yeah.
So
for all other taxable,
so
comma, unimproved specs. Yeah.
And commercial, I would say.
And commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have commercial in there.
So you need to take commercial out of the first one and put it in the second.
Okay. Take out the non-residential in the first room too, I believe.
I don't know if you can.
Because non-residential means the
so you just want to put
stuff.
Yeah. So you just want to put residential.
Yeah.
Okay.
And $700 for everything else.
So as it would read, it would be $400 for the taxable residential properties. And the next one would be $700 for all taxable, unimproved, commercial, non-residential, and vacant real properties.
And speculative.
And speculative.
I imagine that would be the same as a vacant residential.
I would suggest we make another one because this 700 one, the purpose of this one is to so the people develop the properties.
Exactly.
Might also we have to put it again for high rate.
Yeah.
Okay. For which?
Like a higher than 700. This 700 is just we have the lowest.
We want to go minimum again if we wanted to.
No, what he's recommending is if you had a third line with an option that said commercial and speculative properties. Right?
Yeah. No. So the second one will be the commercial and like Councillor Dorison said that. So we remove the non-residential, commercial, and real properties for minimum $700.
Yeah.
That's the second one. The third line, it's up again for the discussion that is 700 is enough for the empty lots.
Right.
Like, the other municipalities have much higher rate.
What, like what, $1,000?
Yes.
Over.
Watson Lake has
12.
1200 Dawson City raised from 1400 to 1700.
What about Mayo and Teslin and Haines Junction? Villages of our size.
So they might don't have the property, so they set it to the minimum.
Which is seven?
So, but we have 65 properties empty.
The rationale for this.
Do we?
Out of 220 that pay taxes to us.
Wow.
People just holding on to lots.
Yeah, so that's why we are not even will be able to match the number for 72 units or whatever the halfway.
Okay. Now that you explain it that way, that makes perfect sense. Thank you, Prince.
Okay, one sec. I just want to check on Councillor Wheeler. Did you have any comments on the conversation on the table?
No, I missed some of it because there was a little bit of a meltdown. But
yeah. That's what I thought. So we're reading into the second reading of a bylaw.
Yeah, I got the last little bit, and I
okay.
Yeah.
Question on the table was that on 4.5 on the first dash would be $400 for all taxable residential
real properties.
Real properties. Period.
Yeah. My only question, what is it right now? Like how much of an increase?
Nothing. It is 400 now.
Okay, it's 400 across the board.
Your assessment. Yeah, based on your assessment.
Yeah, but like the non
there is none. Or it's, sorry, it's lower than that.
350.
It's 350.
Yeah, I thought.
Okay. I thought it went up though every year, didn't it?
No, it doesn't. But the last bylaw, when we had that in there, it wasn't. We didn't put it on the table and discuss the real facts of what Prince is talking about here, having how many vacant properties of our total properties being a lot higher than what we thought they were. And now we actually have the numbers. But that's the conversation at hand here, is that when we went through the half funding in trying to build properties, is that nobody was biting on some of these properties and developing them. So the incentive here is to see if we can get the tax rate to a fee that would, you know, represent development.
Based on what's discussed here, and you know, the research done on this, a good recommendation, I think, would be $400 for residential, maybe $700 for the commercial, and potentially $1,000 for speculative. Just given that, you know, given the number of
the vacant
lots and the goals expressed by the council to date about trying to encourage more housing development. It's not to mention the fourth portion of that too is contingent on trying to encourage more development.
This would certainly show that we did that.
Yeah.
Pardon me for interrupting.
No, well, that's good. That's good.
Councillor Wheeler, do you have anything to add?
I don't know, just throwing this huge increase, like, okay, now it's $600 more. For some people, it might be a lot. We could discuss it now and say, next year, this will be what it is. You need to develop. You need to do something. Because it just it's a huge jump, considering property taxes are due in a couple months.
We're not making the property tax jump on assessed properties that are developed.
No, I know.
These are the
But there are people who hold lots. It's right, that's a vacant increase.
But it's already at 7, is it not?
Our heating costs are a huge increase too, Tara. And our power bills. What are we going to do?
If I may, too, just to say, the speed at which things are being proposed right now is also kind of, I think, and the fact that there has been years where there has been no increase at all in this category, I think should be taken into consideration.
So right now, aren't we starting at 700? So wouldn't we only be increasing
by 300?
No, it's 400 for taxable residential and non-residential and commercial real properties right now, and 350 for all other taxable and improved speculative vacant.
I don't know why I didn't catch the wording last year.
So now what we're saying, after we've done that bylaw, what we've learned, and that's why this is proposed. Because the structure of the tiered system is in place, which the public asked, right? Which is way better, more effective, more relevant to the way they live, right? Now we're focusing on the more along the lines of, because we're not really changing that piece for the ones that are developed. We're talking about the undeveloped lots.
The people that are sitting on them waiting for their mind.
Well, isn't that vacant real properties?
Yeah.
So right now it's at 700.
No. This is the proposed bylaw that's on the table for this.
Oh, okay. And so right now everything's at 400.
Minimum.
Minimum.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, sorry, no, 350.
350, right.
350 and 400.
So,
okay.
Are you following along, Tara or Councillor Wheeler? Did you have any other further comments on that after that information?
No, I just don't want to see the double is, it's big, it's a big thing.
It's going to be more, it's going to be tripled almost from 350 to 1,000.
Yeah, raising it from 1.45 to 1.5 was a big deal for residential properties. So
I think you're misunderstanding what's going on here.
No, and I know what I'm It's a huge increase for undeveloped properties. We will
right.
hear it. It is a big, it will be a big deal for a lot of people.
I am
not
fine.
Comfortable to raise that. Like, that's huge. And I understand our costs are more, but it's huge.
And it's an incentive for them to get off their butt and do something with their properties okay. that they're sitting
yes.
on, right?
And
just 1 second.
Being told ahead of time, rather than like now it's March, right. you have to, it's going to be tripled by July.
Okay.
Right. If it's tripled by next year, they have a year.
Point taken.
Yeah.
Right.
I just wanted
that's,
to hear
that's
your
just my
full.
Point. Yeah. Because it's like property taxes are due July 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So saying so this is our
just
plan
one
for next
here.
Year.
Can you hold on a sec there?
Yeah.
I just want to, I want you to have time to say what you need to say without interruptions. So please go ahead. And make your recommendations so that we can write it down?
Well, my recommendation is possibly a slight increase, but definitely not double or triple what it currently is until next year and give people a year warning. And undeveloped property will be going up. Here's your time to start doing something with it. That's just my suggestion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Councillor Hanson?
I'm for the 400, 700, 1,000.
Okay. Councillor Mitchell?
I kind of, you know, it was the same as Doris, but I kind of understand where Tara's coming from, although these people have been sitting on these properties a long time.
We can make it retro to after this. We can bring it back for the third reading after the tax is due.
No.
For third reading?
No.
No? Okay.
It has to be passed by April 30th.
What's that?
April 14th.
Okay. April 14th. Thank
okay.
you, pardon.
Sorry, I just want to let you finish there, Councilor.
I think I'm going to agree with Tara on this one. Give people a heads up. I know it sucks that they've been waiting this long on these properties, but
we still have a third reading to go, so we can make the changes. You'll be able to read the changes, and you'll still be able to have it amended before the third reading.
I don't like the property being sat on the way they are. To me, it's just like the people, and when COVID went around, they went and bought every piece of toilet paper in town to triple the price to sell it, and it's kind of what people seem like they're doing with these properties, and I might be speaking online. So I agree with doing it, but
let's hear from Councillor Boulanger.
So right now we're at 350 across the board, right?
350 is for undeveloped.
400 for residential and non-residential commercial real properties. That's and then 350 for unimproved, speculative, and vacant. So they were paying less?
Yes. But they have been paying way less for even before that bylaw came out.
I think this should be, no matter what, an increase on that. I'm supportive of the 400. In regards to the second one that we're saying is going to be commercial unimproved speculative.
And the second one will be commercial, industrial, and all the government, minimum $700.
Okay.
And the third one, as Councillor said, it will be for the speculative, unimproved, and vacant, it's 1,000.
Oh, I changed my mind on that.
It's not for everybody. 1,000 is not for everybody. It's only for 65 properties.
$65,000.
I'm not worried about the money. I'm worried about them sitting on the curb. No, I mean, I agree with Doris. I've changed. Sorry, I misunderstood about that. I didn't realize it's third. Is the third okay? Yes, I am for it.
Okay, so all we're doing right now is making the proposed adjustments, and then I can call the all in favor, but then you're going to get another reading. So you want to see what it looks like with what the proposed changes are.
May I ask a question, please? What number did you use for the budget?
Oh, the old, like
the old 20,
yeah, 2020.
So, okay, that's fine.
Okay. So
I'm in support of Dorsen Benesic.
So for the budget numbers, we can't really make up a permanent line for that it will be where we will receive every year 65,000, because our main purpose is so people develop the property so they pay less.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So next year they'll
build not show in the budget as 65,000.
Yeah.
So, but still.
Yeah.
Next year it might be less.
Makes sense. Thank you, Prince.
So push on the cart, get moving. Especially with the half money repair.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Blake.
If I could just make a point too, if they choose to develop their properties, there are funds available for that through government programming to help people develop their properties, as far as I know, correct?
$60,000.
So it's not
through our half funding.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's not like they don't have any, it's not like it's a burden that they have to bear indefinitely. There are ways, but it's an incentive to help create more developed lots, to create more housing, to right. create. So anyway, that's.
So there's a support system within.
Can I get this information to these 65?
Well, that's public engagement.
Yeah. Oh, sure enough.
Okay. So I'll call a question. All those in favor of the proposed changes under 4.5. Thank you. I can't see Councillor Wheeler's hand.
Made me say, I'm any opposed.
No, I don't need to do that.
You might see her hand then.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. 7.2. This is Bylaw 325-26, VOC Annual Operating Budget 2026, for a motion of first reading to open.
I'll make a motion that we give Bylaw 325-26, the Village of CarMax's Annual Operating Budget for 2026, first reading.
Thank you. Second.
I'll second it.
Of course.
All those in favor?
No.
No? You want a discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I wasn't here when you guys did this?
Yeah.
So I see an increase in the administration building. Why?
Okay.
When our amount went lower than in the past.
So where exactly on the
administration pilot? Building? Yeah. So I'm looking at the 33,800 and 20,737, because we need a new roof.
No, it wasn't for the roof. It was for the boiler repairs. We did amend the budget last reading. It was 12,500. Yes,
okay. That's okay. Okay.
That might be increased.
Okay.
And the roof was supposed to be next time, wasn't it?
This year,
because we talked about it last
time. Is there anything?
It's different than what you're seeing up there. I got 21,698.81.
And the increase for the pool is there.
Right. Okay.
That was.
Sorry. I have to say, like, I wasn't here. I was off a couple of days last week, so I didn't know that the budget, like the first or second meeting, was going into this meeting. And then Prince just got the numbers. And then actually there was a typo in like operational. Like there was, I think, 252 instead of 212. That was from last year, the budget, like transfers from reserves. So there was a typo.
Oh,
and I haven't updated because the budget that...
Oh, this one, the one
yeah,
that...
It's supposed to be 212 and not 252?
Yes. Does Councillor Wheeler have that one?
Yeah, Councillor Wheeler.
She doesn't have this.
Okay. It just got updated.
It just got updated.
Okay, just a second. Councillor Wheeler, can you just confirm that? Are you seeing, did you want us to share the screen so you have the updated version of the Village of Carmex, the 2026 budget?
Yes, if it's not the one that was in the package, I'd like to see the updated one.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We'll share the screen here for you so you could see the updated version.
And so my next question is,
it's last year's budget that's changed.
Yes, because it was only like when we discussed, like last December. So I only updated to October 31st, but this is until December 31st. So that's why
the
have changed.
Okay, so the recreation center, there's an increase of 150. No, that's the expense. Never mind. Okay, and then but the pool, what's going on? Are we doing some renos in the pool?
We hope not.
Heating costs will be going up.
Yes.
Okay.
Astronomical.
Okay, so I just want to confirm here, just one sec, please. Councillor Wheeler, do you see the updated 2026 budget?
Yeah, I've got it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, continue, Councillor Holmes.
And the fire department, there's a difference. They didn't spend roughly 60,000, but we're increasing it. Is there something that we plan on anticipating?
It was more for training.
Okay.
Training.
For training.
Yes, and other supplies.
The 491,000 environmental health.
We did put together environmental health and maintenance in 2025, but according to our auditor, we are not supposed to do it because landfill has to be landfill, not maintenance. So that's why it's, if you see like maintenance in 2025 was 1.44 million.
Okay.
So and now we have to put it back. So
as in two separate.
In two separate.
Is sewer considered environmental health or maintenance?
It's environmental health.
Okay, thank you.
Good question.
Yes.
Any questions, Councillor Wheeler?
No, not on this one.
Okay. Councillor Mitchell?
No, it's
okay. I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That passes.
We'll make a motion that would give bylaw 325-26 the Village of Council, Village of CarMax and operating budget for 2026 second reading.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? So, Councillor Wheeler?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Call a question. All those in favor? That passes too. Thank you. Okay. 7.3 bylaws 325-26 Village of CarMax.
Oh, sorry, it's me.
Capital budget, different than the annual budget. Sorry, I think I might have misspoken there. Did I call them both the capital project or budget? The language is okay.
Is the numbers wrong?
1, 2025, 26, 26, 26.
There's that.
It's just the typo?
Yeah.
Okay.
26.
Okay, make
what is the sorry? Let me hear that again.
Sorry. So 7.3 is 326-26.
326.
Yeah,
okay, thank you. That's what caught me. I was like, I thought I just said that. Okay.
The title is also wrong.
Yeah, it's...
It just, yeah, it says operating budget as well on 326. 26.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank on the you. Bylaw itself.
Let's open it up here and then we can make those adjustments if you want to move her. first reading on 326-26 VOC capital budget of 2026.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'll make the motion.
The seconder.
The first reading?
Yes.
I will second it.
Okay. Discussion is title adoption of the 2026
capital
budget.
It's right down below, which is up right up top.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I'm curious. Yeah. We do know that Public Works needs at least one truck. I see nothing in there for any fleet at all.
That's what I was just going to ask, Tara.
Okay, we could have Blake speak to that.
Yeah. So there's been, Jens and I are still working on the list, the fleet list. There hasn't been an opportunity to update it in terms of maintenance budget line item and current fleet prioritization. Do a sense of kind of what we do have, but I think it does need some more work before it's presented back to the council. What I will say is, I think given where we're at right now, it may make the most sense to look at adding this as for the capital for 2027 as opposed to this year. Had some discussions with Prince on this, and given that the capital budget for 2027 is produced in October, I believe, that gives us 6 months to kind of look at it, potentially buy one less than a year from now. So, and it would keep it within where we're at right now. So I think just given the priorities that we have right now, the fact that we can't, like, my understanding is there's already things that are started for the 2026 column. There are a lot of things here that are fairly, doesn't really have a lot of flexibility to move around.
Right.
I think it would probably make the most sense to look at that as a capital expense for 2027 as opposed to 26, just thank given you. The information.
Thank you, Blake.
Will the vehicles last that long?
Yes, let's see what we can.
Okay, any further discussion on first reading of the capital budget for 2026? Councillor Wheeler, just chime in there whenever you need to.
Municipal Act speaks to the percentage of our comprehensive municipal grant that we have to spend on capital, doesn't it?
So we can,
maybe not.
Can you run that by me again?
Does the Municipal Act say dictate what percentage we have to spend of our comprehensive municipal grant, what percentage we have to spend on capital? Does that?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Something for future Doris to worry about. The allocation for the comprehensive grant for 2026 shall be 94.67. 5.33. Are you saying you're questioning that?
No, I'm just making sure we're spending enough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll find out real quick here. Thank you, Councillor Hansel. Any other? Before I call the question, all those in favor of first reading? Thank you, Pat. All right. Bylaws 326-26, VOC capital budget 2026, second reading. Do we have a mover?
Yep.
Councilor Hanson, seconder?
I'll second.
Councilor Mitchell? Discussion? Any further discussion, Councillor Wheeler?
No. I'm just looking at the PA system because I think that could probably be CDF funding or something because it's it's something that the whole community uses when they use our recreation center, but I don't know for sure.
So I think they tried to get funding for that in the past. Do you want to speak to that, Prince?
So for
I think so.
Both of the rec stuff, recreation equipment and paint and facility PA system, we will apply for the funding maybe next month, April 15th is the deadline.
But the same as before, you have to put it in the budget if we don't use it. There we go. Is that to answer your question, counselor?
And this one will be the good too for the vehicle equipment. If we get the funding, then we will have the more chances to get the vehicles, because our fleet vehicles, we can't get through any funding.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
If we get the funding for these two projects,
might free up some space.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prince.
I don't think it says anything.
Yeah, but it is not.
Any further discussion on second reading of the capital budget 2026?
No, thank you.
Sorry. I'm not seeing anything further on this one. That's why I actually have to.
All those in favor? Thank you. That passes second reading.
Chair, you should have been high or something.
We have the flexibility to move the same day.
Yeah.
No, I think it was in a past municipal act. I think they updated it.
I think Prince has something he'd like to share with you or the council.
It's called unconditional CMG grant. So I see there was no condition. They gave us the flexibility up to mayor and council how they will want to split them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Prince. All right. New and unfinished business. 8.1 follow up on meeting with Minister Belmore and Minister Kent discussion. Go ahead, Blake.
No, I'm not.
Well, okay. Just any discussion?
Yeah.
Maybe if you want to start it off.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess with the meeting that was on March 11th, there was a good amount of good discussion on a number of topics. Some of the things obviously were brought up again, joint council meeting, DMAF, for example, Lagoon, and some of these infrastructure projects. There's been follow-up on those since that meeting as well, too, just to be able to look into them a bit more. I think the I'll just say from my perspective, I think I thought it was a very positive meeting, especially as a first meeting with Minister Belmore and her role, as well as having her colleague, Minister Kent, there talking about, housing, education issues as well, too. I found that there was an interest in from Minister Kent in looking at potentially outside the box ideas, potentially being open to that from the community. At least that was my takeaway from the meeting. I haven't had a chance to look in depth at the program that he was mentioning about the about training in the communities, but I think it's worth taking a look at a bit more too. I can take a look at that. And then I think, having Minister Belmore come out after the sitting, I think there's a plan, an in-person in the sometime roughly in the spring, fall, or spring, summer, once the sitting ends. And I believe that there's still a request for Minister Laking as well, too, in conjunction with that. So, I think, I don't know, any of, I guess those are my takeaways from the meeting, but happy to turn it over.
Yeah, thank you, Blake. Any counselors have any points they'd like to highlight on a discussion with the ministers? Counselor Wheeler, if you'd like.
No.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Move on here. 8.2, a follow-up on joint council meeting discussion. Yeah.
Let me kick it off with that one.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, this is my first joint council meeting, and I found it was a really great opportunity for community connect, obviously. It's a friendly bunch. Everybody knows each other, which is, great to see, great to be part of. I think it was clear that the DMAF project has raised some questions, and I think it's, if it wasn't clear before to YG, it's very clear now. So, but I will say that I heard from community affairs the day after, and just kind of asking how it went. And personally, I found that Mike did a good job in terms of answering questions that were kind of providing some of those high level points that both Kelly and I had raised when we met together to talk about things. There's still a lot more that needs to be to come out of that as well too. But I think as a starting point, it was something. I think I have had conversations with community services since that meeting as well too, on DMAF in particular, and there is interest in working with our schedule and timelines and structure to be able to kind of have that community engagement and what that looks like. So Kelly and I are trying to find a time to connect to figure that out a little bit more to be able to provide feedback.
I did want to make a point that just speaking to the public in general, just that wherever it is at the store or wherever public is, like, some people don't know what this is and they've never heard of it. So, like, is there a prompt to start the notice of, like, even that this has been delegated to CarMax as, like,
yeah,
a $38 million project, other than us speaking here in council? And it, like, it's, for one thing, it's to say it at this table or whatever, but the public's not getting the notification here.
I think that's the other piece of this, which is that there's a bit of a disconnect. And again, this is like kind of what I've been finding is coming into this, is that YG feels that in some cases that when they're coming and speaking with joint council or speaking with one council or another, that's engagement. And I've been very clear that that's not full engagement. That's not community engagement. You need to actually engage with the whole community if you want to be able to say that you're engaging with the whole community. And so I think it's kind of figuring out what that looks like at this point in the game. Obviously, they're behind the eight ball in terms of, the community engagement that wasn't done on this in the lead up, and it's creating more challenges now as a result of that. And so I think it's kind of like, how do we try to kind of help move this back on track in a way that will work for everybody to have any concerns addressed that way? So that's still TBD, still kind of working with, again, having a, one, I need to follow up with Kelly to talk more about that, timelines and whatnot, and then also with YG. Same thing with any kind of big infrastructure project, but this is the biggest one.
Is there a mechanism that we could put in, like a newsletter or something, to go out to the public just in regards of some of these project updates or what is happening here? Because, like, I wouldn't want to see somebody not know that can give information or have their input or have their say or get their time into listening to what's going on and it be late notice.
Mm-hmm. I think the challenge is that we still don't really know exactly what's going on either.
But we know what DMAC is. So yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I think it is really important to have that communication piece, and it's on section A as well too. But I think it's for the bigger the project, for something like this, it's fluid and there's a lot of like nitty gritty pieces. So I think we have to be really careful for whatever communication as the village puts out, that we're not missing anything and that we don't get, blame for any oversight in that case as well too. However, I think a high level kind of overview, and especially when we have dates that we can say this is when engagement's going on,
right,
I think that would be a really
good time to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay.
Keep going. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, no, go ahead.
No. So my impression from that meeting was they're not organized for it. Like they went out and got, and now all of a sudden YesAb is involved. They're saying that they need to do, now, unless I've got this wrong, but didn't they mention about having to do?
Yeah, to do the.
Well, they were trying to separate it into two different pieces, and that's.
Is that?
Not the case that they're getting to do, right? They're trying to pre-drill some holes to get started on the project, but they couldn't. But what my concern was, that I took away from there is that I've dealt with a lot of projects here in the past is that they show up with a one-man team or a one-person team, but this is a $38 million project that's getting presented to a First Nation and to the village, and there's one person there. Where's the rest of the department? Where's this information? Where's the team that's working on a $38 million project? It's what I was concerned about.
Especially because it's not just one person that's going to run the whole show.
Well, I'm glad
it's going to be different areas.
Well, yeah, but we did talk to Minister Belmore and Damian Burns, and they're now aware that we're what the expectations of this public consultation piece is and why it hasn't been represented properly, right? So Mike and hopefully them talking to each other will come a little bit faster on some of this and with a team that represents it. So
I just felt that both of them, Damien and I mean, I realized that Minister Belmore and Deputy Minister, that they're new and they're just trying to get themselves their head wrapped around this DMAP, right?
New, and Mike Gukranitz isn't new, so.
Well, Mike isn't new, but who is the Deputy Minister?
Damien.
Yeah.
But we'll see what they come like. You said you're getting some replies on some of the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I feel like last week was a really good week for shaking things loose a little bit and getting things moving a bit more. Like, yeah. It does seem like there's...
Gets us on the board.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay. Councillor Wheeler, did you have any last comments or words or anything reflecting?
No, nothing off the top of my head.
Well, we'd just add on that front, though, the last two, I mean, I think speaking to the need for health infrastructure, I think that's another topic that's really important to address, but also public safety and the emergency preparedness are topics that we're also talking about fairly regularly. So it's good. I thought it was a good conversation.
Yep. Yeah. 8.3 under new and unfinished business is flood risk assessment update from YG.
Yeah, so I had requested that an update from EMO for council tonight, and Greg Blackjack wrote to me and saying so basically the correspondence, I believe we are currently confirming the schedule for briefings for the upcoming flood season. You should have a schedule complete by the end of the week. This will include a leadership briefing for all leadership across the Yukon. One update from EMO is that I have two new planners that recently joined us, Aaron Shepherd and Colin O'Neill, are both on board as emergency planners with EMO. One of them should be reaching out soon as they are assigned their communities and portfolios.
Wow, that's really good.
Is that Aaron Shepherd,
E-R-I-N? Aaron... E-E-R-E-R-I-N.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Colin.
And
Colin.
Yeah.
He was the fire marshal's office before, so he knows CarMax well.
And he's a safety officer for YG, Aaron Shepherd.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's good.
That sounds really good.
So that's, yeah. I will say on the flood risk, I did have some conversations as well, too, just with, Bill and I had some conversations as well. And, talking about, I was able to, you know, and big thanks to Bill as well too for providing some of the information about the 2021-2022 flooding that CarMax had. Comparatively, so if there are people in the community that are concerned about this, I'm just kind of the way there are. The snowpack that year was at 200%. Mm-hmm. This year it's at 114 and average is 112. So it's like in terms of snowpack, it actually is not like not super, you know, but
it looks like more than, but the test is different than what we're seeing.
That's yeah.
The volume compared to the pack.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other.
I go with how deep I step outside my house.
Right.
Okay. I've lived there for so many years.
But the moisture level.
The moisture level is a bit of a, so that's a bit of a concern because the amount of moisture from the snow is 47% more than
higher.
Yeah. So that is a bit of a, that might change the math a little bit. It also depends on the groundwater level, which anecdotally it was low last year. So there's a hope that it will in some areas, some of the kind of more flooding, flood prone areas. And then the other thing that I had heard was that it's supposed to be a cold spring. So that may mean
a slow thaw
or potentially maybe a late flood, but hopefully a slow thaw to your point. So there's still kind of some tea leaf reading on this point, but there has been, like, I've had conversations with Blake on this, with Bill, and then correspondence with Greg. So we're definitely keeping an eye on it, and we'll do what we can to provide more updates as they come.
Go ahead, Des.
I didn't speak out of line. I told my boss, Pat, that we had discussed for snow, for people removing snow, to possibly use that area where the Pelly Camp is, because I don't know if that's why TG and Municipal. So I told them that you might be given.
We're going to follow up with that right after this one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sure. But I did have a suggestion, Blake, if we could share this note of information, possibly to the public, just so they're aware, because there's been a lot of people asking, a lot of people concerned, as they should be, just about the work that we're doing and towards being aware of what's going on here with the water or the snowpack or the logistics of these next two items, I guess, flood risk assessment and the snow removal.
We can put something out tomorrow.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Councillor Wheeler, anything to add? Just don't want to forget you over there. Sorry.
No, I'm just patiently waiting to see how much water will be in my basement at the end of May, beginning of June.
It's going to be slow, Kat.
I would say that, CarMax, we are always, as I've been told when I ask the question about flood risk and everything, really ahead of asking and aware of what the risks are based on two floods that we've had. So it's kind of important to us to kind of prompt that. But I would say that maybe part of that that public notification that goes out is to make sure that you're going through all of your inventory of what you might necessarily need in the part of the emergency, that if it's flood or...
Like your 72-hour kit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Terry.
Oh, it's just having emergency preparedness. I lent out one of my sump pumps to somebody and I did not get it back, so I think I need to buy a new one, but
yeah.
I'm doing inventory.
Yeah, that's great. So
that's a good reminder, actually, because Mikey Kranitz actually sent me a good link on flood prep as well too. So that's I can send that out with the public communication that we do.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know it's sometimes the logistics of us, the village, getting information out, but some of the common practices would be if they printed something out and you left it at the post office for some, like, as like where they can get their flyers and stuff like that. It's like represented as like, you know, pick it up, you know, here it is kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks.
All right, moving forward here, snow removal update from Blake.
There's been some discussion on this on this front with YG. I think there's We had discussed about the gravel pit being used as a potential dumping spot for either or municipality and residents. Further, so I had some further discussions the last couple of days with Bill on this. And what was kind of what came out of that was maybe a recommendation, just given that we are later in the season, to potentially to use the landfill as this drop-off spot for both for residents and for municipality this year, while working towards another place that could be used as a dumping spot next year. So I guess I'm still working around my geography in town, but there was discussion that in the past, the part of the landfill, since it is a municipal site up by where the brush is around there, could be a good place for snow removal, for snow dumping. And if, there's, just have to say people probably, like, I mean, obviously we wouldn't charge them on the scale unless they're trying to sneak.
Yeah, no, it's there. Like free dump brushing. But I would say if that was the fact of the area that you possibly want to use, to be aware that there's possibly a setback from that area with the access to a trail, that it would be in the, can you remind me of that part of the fence is going around there? For the dump in the area, there's an area of the dump that is part of that brush pile that wouldn't be ours anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Just so you're aware, if we put a ton of snow there and then they're trying to do...
How about where the old gravel pit is? It's blocked off right now for no one to...
Well, that was one of the questions that we asked.
It just requires $2 million in liability, so it would be in insurance. So it'd be okay for the municipality, but probably not an answer for residents. But there's a good point raised that for contractors that do snow clearing in town, they would probably have $2 million in liability, so it would address part of that issue. If there was, like, say, if the landfill was used by residents for removal, but then if we could talk to YG about commercial and municipal use of the gravel pit, so that could be an option. You know, I don't know how, like, where the snow from the hotel went, because that's like there was snow removal there, but at Warmware, like about the school, like what they do with their snow there too. But it sounds like it's going to be more of an issue as we get closer to the ML. It was recommended that we do kind of removal as kind of a preparation to prevent flooding. So it would be a good thing for us to start working on.
So what kind of timeline are we thinking that we might?
I'd have to talk with Jens a little bit just to see what's doable. But I think that, if we start like chipping away at it probably in the next week or two, it would be good. It would be a good idea just so we can.
So let me kind of clarify something. So if, let's say we have the spot allocated in the landfill for snow dumping and we clear some of it, is it the easement? Just so that if you make a public notification that the village is doing some type of snow removal, that you could give them type of information where it'd be like up to the easement of their property.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had dumped snow there, during the year that they can no longer move, that we would be taking that snow technically as municipal snow.
Up to the property line.
Up to the property line.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I would like clarification on that.
I think the idea was to keep the ditches as clear as possible so that it didn't result in overflowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would fit with that.
So I just want to check in with you.
Yeah, just listening.
Okay. All right. Any other further comments on the snow removal? But I appreciate it. Which we could hear something back in a week or two, or if you're starting on that, we would know. But maybe we have a prompt to the public just to let them know what's going on.
Well, I think if I could follow up with council by email or text to let you know, sure. And then Once we know, we can start getting the word out, and yeah, if you're able to assist with that too, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that we have high priority areas, and all that would be laid out for the public to know.
Yeah.
Why? Okay.
I'll follow up with Jens and also YG to see what we put together.
Thank you. Yeah. Also, on one more note of that, would local contractors be involved on some of that possibly too?
Yeah, that would be, I mean, I think that would.
So I think that's what a lot of the local contractors right now are waiting to, because a lot of them are the ones that are asking questions.
Right.
Also, like in me, to be on the note of the general public of being prepared for flooding. Mm-hmm. This would be the other piece to it, of like the list of local contractors, what their capabilities would do, would go really highlight with that to get their contact information.
So it's an information piece as opposed to like a village budgeting piece, right?
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't be a...
No.
Yeah.
It would be like, hey, emergency preparedness, if you're worried about your property, snow, levels or whatever, our business part of our page on our website will recommend the people we do business, or they've applied their name to that.
Yeah. I think that would fly. Yeah, just as long as they have an active business license in their village.
Doris and Don Snorlers.
Okay, so Don from Doris, I just reminded
kind of on the random new one,
but get your business license.
While we're on the part of the snow removal, when talking about dumping at the dump, Prince pointed out this new line here on the map, it would be where we can't really intrude on some of that, and it is quite a portion that we would be encroaching on. Just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it would be maybe worth looking into on what the project status is on that, so then we know.
It would also be if we can work things out with YG in terms of the gravel pit, then having a municipal and contractor clearing the gravel pit, and yeah, just having that for residential.
I would just bring that part up if you're having that conversation, because it's a boundary line, right?
When did the boundary change? Was that since
last
splash? Yeah.
Thanks.
No problem.
All right. This is changed. Because they're going to put a road through there.
Access to the power life road, guys, and get up there.
And it's a historical trip. Yeah. Animal welfare recommendations. Blake.
Okay, yeah, thanks. So I hoped I'd have a bit more, this would be a bit more form tonight, but still kind of working on some like kind of funding, finding out kind of what's doable on this front. But I will say the presentation that was done by Humane Society was talking about some pretty stark numbers there. They're definitely like having some issues, you know, given the economy and whatnot. They're seeing more surrenders than ever now. They're beyond capacity. They're struggling. And in talking with Liam, I know there's been surrenders from the community as well too. They're seeing I've had discussions with LSCFN about this. There's kind of where things are really landing in terms of what can CarMax do, what can communities do. It really comes back to spaying and neutering, and I feel like if there's a way, like more that can be done on that front. There's some, sorry, Helena? Yeah.
Keep going, because I'm going to tell you what's going on in Pelly.
Okay, yeah, I'm really interested in that, because actually I've heard that they're doing some great things there, but I think that there used to be services that would, like mobile services that would come to communities to do spaying and neutering, clinics and whatnot. It's the YG has a very small program that really is not, as far as the research I've done, it really isn't doing as much as it needs to do.
We've visited this conversation a couple times in council here over the years, but it's hard to achieve them to come up. I think there was an issue with them traveling and being able to do the practice here.
One thing, and I'm still trying to figure out kind of what the crux of some of these issues are, because I understand that the Pelly had a unit like that come out, but maybe this might be something that CarMax could lead on in terms of resolution of AYC, in terms of really kind of making a difference from the community. The number of animals going into Whitehorse from communities, because and I put this as animal welfare. It is animal control, but it's also animal welfare. And Liam, reminded me to kind of come at it from that perspective too, which is like, it's no life for an animal just to be kicking around and just, we're doing this to kind of help the community, but also to help the animals too. It's important that that's being put into context. So
yes.
But just anyway, I'm still kind of working on the research behind this, but I guess I just kind of wanted to put it out there as something that was raised, and something that's also raised by LSCFN, and something that's also been raised by the Humane Society through an AYC conversation. So I'd be really keen to get your thoughts on something like that.
Sad part is everybody wants the puppy. Nobody wants the dog.
Do you want to work on a research?
So I think that this is the fourth year that these doctors and that have been coming out, these vets, veterinarians, they've been doing spayed and neutering, and they're doing immunizations, and everything is free. It is an application that has to be filled out. I have talked. I brought it to Lorraine, who has her little, and I guess there's a lot of paperwork, and you also have to prove that it's a big problem here.
Right. We had it here. We were spayed and neutering dogs.
But that was only
that was rec director.
Yeah, Elaine got that.
But
it was a one-time deal. These actually doctors are from Ontario. They're from all over. And it's some sort of society.
I thought we did it for 2 or 3 years.
It was twice at least, I think.
Yeah, we did it over a couple of times.
Well, this is a four-year program.
I put in the neuter that I would help one family do pay. At that time, it wasn't free. You had to pay. And I actually paid for Tara to get her dog neutered or spayed, whatever it was. Because I put that out there that I would do one to help one person.
But it's good.
I'm not sure what her... So there's a woman that works in Pelly who's the animal care coordinator.
Okay.
And she's the one who's attached to the whole thing.
Okay. Okay.
Her name is Marion.
She's one of the animals too, is she? She?
No.
Well, not her.
Unless she joined it. Okay, no, she might have.
Might be some agent.
Let me just give me, and I will.
You can share that contact after if you like.
Thanks.
Okay.
What I was told is that once upon a time it happened, and there was concern from the vets at the time that business was being taken away. My understanding now, and again, I have to verify this, but it sounds like the vets are just so under, there's not enough vets here to keep.
They have waiting lists for Spain.
And they would, yeah, it sounds like that's not an issue at all. Okay. Right? But I can confirm that looking into this a bit more.
Okay. Counselor.
So it actually happened twice here. There was the time when Dennis helped me out with my dog, that we, like, there was a fee. Mm-hmm. And then there was the time that it was free for everyone. And I think like 100 dogs or six, it was a lot of dogs, and at least 30 cats got fixed in like 3 days. And that was the time that the vet started complaining. But right now, I think the Village of CarMax put money in. The last council and LSAFN put in money, and Lorraine actually organized most of it. And all of these dogs were considered her dogs because they weren't taking new clients at the vet. And I know that because she gets emails for vaccinations being up to date. A lot of dogs did go in from CarMax, but trying to get the dogs in is also an issue. Appointments are at 7 a.m. People don't have the transportation. And then just even getting the appointment. dogs would get pregnant before they could make it in for their appointment, because appointments would be 3-4 months down the road. So if we could find someone to come in and know what's happening, and even on a regular basis with all the communities, that would be lovely. And I don't think the vets would mind, because they are swamped. They're not taking new clients.
No, when they did the last one that was free, Lady Ardog, and she even had an abortion. She yes. was pregnant.
I remember. They spayed
it, but also did an abortion on her. That's what you yeah. call it on a dog. I'm not sure, but
they cleaning cages.
I did one last piece to add this as well too. I talked with the Humane Society today, and they're very keen to work with the communities in different ways, like things that they haven't traditionally done a lot in the past. But they talked about potentially having workshops over here about like first aid for dogs, dog training, things like that. And so they just asked if that would be of interest. I did a rough poll, and it sounds like it would be, but thought I'd mention that as well too. So
yeah, that sounds good.
Public education is always a must. You think people would know, but they don't know. We had to put a dog down here one time. Well, I shouldn't say we, but I know.
Maybe it's something that you could work on. What's the name of Lorraine's group for the dogs and cats, and what is it?
I don't think there is a group anymore.
Oh, no?
Oh, no?
Well, because it was Lorraine and Bev and Megan, and then it was Lorraine and Bev. Bev's gone. It was...
We're just making recommendations here for Blake. Maybe you could follow up with Lorraine and see what they can get done through that. And also, Liam.
He's gone.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Blake.
Yep.
Garbage pickup program update discussion. Again, Blake.
Up to bat again. All right.
Let's see.
This one's a shorter one. This was mentioned on the last council meeting, and so there's been some discussion on this one as well too. We're talking with Prince. We're going to be following up with the CCBF program.
Okay.
To see if we can get some funding to get this thing moving. But we're pretty optimistic that we can. But it would be kind of like, we want to start with a program to see kind of how we're going to get things off the ground.
Perfect.
For the community pickup?
Yeah, to see if there's like what we can do for funding for it.
It used to come out of the recreation budget.
No, this is like garbage, like pick up household garbage.
Yeah.
Bags of garbage.
Sorry.
Not just community cleanup.
Okay, I thought community cleanup. Okay,
never mind. That's separate.
But anyway, I thought that's kind of administration's update, but just want to know if it is maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Blake, Village Carmex, or Village Communication with Community, mm-hmm. with the community.
Yeah, so I mean, this has come up, this came up to the last council meeting, and it's follow up from that, but also just this week when I'm meeting with for our management meeting, I want to get feedback from different departments and other ways that we can get messaging out to the community. And I'm really interested in kind of the messages that each department wants to get out in terms of the updates and whatnot, as well as the mechanisms that the village has for getting information out there and what works. So for example, like what you just said about the flyers and the post office, I wouldn't have thought of that. So I guess I would put out there as I welcome any advice that you might
have. So I can have all counselors here. There used to be a flyer. It was called the
Villager.
The Villager, and then it was then later called the Hooter.
Oh no, the mayor used to put out the Villager. The Villager. Hooter was put out by the community.
So maybe there's something there that I can work on with
the Hooter was a local newspaper.
Sure.
It was a local newspaper kind of thing, and everybody put their stuff into it. So you knew what was going on.
That's but a typical newsletter from administration, with an update from all departments would be really great.
Yeah. Would you just, how often would it be?
I think it, like,
it was once a month. It was once a month the Hooter was. The Hooter was
you
once
could do a quarterly on a higher scale of things that are going on, maybe just like the quick tip kind of stuff.
A high level review.
Yeah, a high level one, and then the quick stuff that you're getting out there. I know these things have been recommended before or whatever, but let's see what we can do.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, it feels like there's definitely a lot of things that are happening, and it would be good to be able to connect the dots to the
community.
Because one of the things Mike and I were discussing, the fact is, when was the last time we went out to the community and say, what's working and what's not working?
Yep. Yep.
And that was one of the things. Let's get some feedback.
Yeah. So I was talking to Blake also about that. And I was talking like a, what did I call it?
Community. Whatever happened to
it's kind of like an open house, but it would be like our projects representing not only ourselves but the community in general in projects. I called it a showcase,
yeah.
A showcase of things that, you know, represent what's going on here. So not just picking up a piece of paper that's left on a table or something like that, but actually face to face with people that are representing those projects that are going on in the community. I think that's a
good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, I mean, having like they have the, you know, they have the job fairs and you know, conferences, like exhibitions, that kind of thing. That was what, yeah.
With little booths.
Potentially,
yeah. But it's showcasing the specific work that's going on in the village and possibly with our neighboring LCFN and other agencies, like,
yeah, right. It could be even be a revenue generator if, like, whether, you know, people wanted to revenue generate, like, if you know, other communities wanted to come. Well, I don't know,
yeah. Well, I'm all you here,
yeah.
Councilor Wheeler, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I'm all about more communication. That's I know the town halls didn't work all that well, but
that's why I was trying to think like a showcase where we're actually involving like more agencies within the area here and kind of involving everybody at like a showcase level, like what is going on, meet their faith, like meet to meet, we can have things, we can have whatever going on in there at that time with just meeting the needs of the public to the engagement piece is what we're trying to strive for.
The thing is, I'm as guilty as sin when it comes to it. There's lots of things that went through past councils. I've been here 46 years now.
And I sat there going, what? But it's my fault. I haven't come to meetings. I haven't come to public engagements. I'm not trying, I know I'm bringing it off, but public has to come out.
Yeah, but we're going to bring the meeting to them.
Oh, no, I know, right. But here we go, trying again. But people got to reach, we can reach so far, people got to reach back.
Well, I think that we've learned from doing the public engagement pieces or having like even just our council meetings or whatever, how CarMax functions, what gets people out. And dinner. Like we're saying, a lot of people at the rec center, they always say, what's going on down there? Right, lots of cars, lots of action.
I'm guilty of sin for that.
So, I mean, I think we just use the best of what our knowledge
That's
is.
That's why I said the Hooter was the best. I knew everything was going on with me when we had our little history.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, great, perfect.
Yes.
8.8 CBC UConn visit.
Yeah. So this one, CBC called. Left sent me an email yesterday. And they are planning to come out to CarMax and Pelly next week. And they're going to be staying in CarMax Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And they're looking to broadcast from somewhere, like places in the village or a place in the village, and hoping to talk to some folks including the mayor and anyone else who may have some good stories, some projects that they're working on, community initiatives. And so they were asking me if I had any suggestions, and I said, well, I'm 6 weeks in, but I know a group that I'm going to be meeting with tonight that would probably have some ideas.
I would say that I would make a call out to a few groups in the community. The hockey, minor hockey, Tremex minor hockey one would be the curling event. It's actually the event, Carmack's event. Events? Yeah. The Farmway Club.
That's really interesting.
So you don't want to talk about projects like the...
No, I can't. I can be there.
Lagoon or the flooding. All that.
On the record, I could be there to talk about some of those things. But I think promoting the people that actually... It's like in shake up the community that we put them forward. And
that's what they're looking for, is just kind of...
Junior Rangers.
Yeah. It could be Junior Rangers. What else are we thinking here?
But everything that
bank
groups.
Go ahead there, Tara.
I was just thinking like that, the food bank.
Yeah, like food bank. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And archery. I mean,
yeah, there's archery club.
There was awards given to, was it Lorraine or in John? Or is, like, there was a few awards there for CarMax from the public. Can you remind me what that was? Sorry.
It was the food bank for Lorraine.
Food bank for Lorraine and archery for John.
Yes.
I think that would go well with fitting for them to talk to CBC about community engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yes. CBC?
Yeah.
First Nations?
Yep.
Maybe they've reached out to them already themselves.
I think they've done some reach out, but I think anyone that we suggest.
I would think that our rec department, specifically, the director, maybe Miriam, on the perspective of CarMax in general, and he's got his little showcase of information and video flights. And I think that represents well for the community.
That's a good one. No, that's great. Would I be able to follow up with one of you for the contacts?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's not even exist anymore. I bet you there's five people that are under CarMax.
We'll move on.
Is that way?
Make a motion that we.
No questions from the public.
Oh,
if there is any, let's check.
Do we have any public?
Anybody from the gallery?
There's no public. There's only two participants.
Not even Arbor tonight.
Okay, not seeing any. We'll need a motion to go in.
Ignored her last time. She's probably ignored us this time.
I'll make the motion to start the in-camera session. Nate, thank you for everything, Annette.
Thanks,
good job. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, take a look. I'll shut her up.
Sorry.
Did you have what?
Do you have cigarettes?
Helena.
And I have normal ones.
Huh?